Peter, this is Jimmy Carter. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you, President Carter. How are you?
Fine, and where are you?
I am in Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's a good place to be. I'm in Juba. We have good weather here for a change. Cool and very nice. Go ahead, I'm ready for your questions.
Okay, so President Carter, what has been your overall interview about the enthusiasm shown by ordinary Southern Sudanese in this referendum?
Well, there's already a maybe unjustified celebratory aspect of the Sudanese as they vote. I mean, they had a lot of singing, dancing, nothing but smiles everywhere, great crowds, very serious patience shown when they have to wait for many, many hours. Every polling watcher that we've been to has shown up on time. The voting has started timely every morning at 8 o'clock. There's been no disturbance at all around any of the polling places. The Carter Center, as you probably know, we have observers all over the north as well as south, and they've been equally orderly, but a much smaller crowds. In the north, maybe 20% roughly. In the south, I would say they've already passed the 50% mark in the total registered voters.
Well, President Carter, it's widely known that Southern Sudan will certainly become an independent country. One issue that keeps coming up is the debt issue. You met with President Bashir. What were some of the assurances he gave you about how to handle the debt that the whole Sudan is carrying at the moment with respect to having a new country in Southern Sudan? Will the debt be shared? How will they handle that?
Well, there's been some confusion about that. I'm not trying to speak for the government of Sudan, but President Bashir told me that he did not see any need to divide the debt between the North and South, which would be very complex and would precipitate another very serious separate object for possible disagreements. And so I think everybody sees that the logic is for this debt, which has been incorporated or incurred by the entire nation of Sudan, would stay with the government in Khartoum. The only real concern I believe that President Bashir has is that he doesn't want the international community to think that everybody's not involved. But if the debt relief comes, then the debt relief would have to come where the debt still exists. So to let it stay existing in the north would mean that debt relief would come to the north. So I think that's the easiest way to handle it. And I don't think there's any real altercation about that. I don't believe there's any opportunity or chance that the South would be given, say, 30% of a debt or 20% of a debt, and the North would accept the rest of it. I believe it will stay undivided and under the responsibility of Khartoum.
Well, President Carter, accepting the results by the NCP has been a concern of most people. Did President Bashir assure you that his party and him as well, you know, are ready to accept the result or the decision of Southern Sudanese to become independent?
Well, as you probably know, there are some very strong leaders in the NCP and in other opposition parties that disagree with the decision that President Bashir announced. But despite the opposition, I think he speaks accurately for the government of North Sudan, and he made it very clear to me personally and to public statements in Juba and in Khartoum that the North will accept the results of the referendum, even if it does mean a complete separation of the 10 southern states into a new nation. There's no doubt that the northern government will accept the results of the referendum peacefully.
Well, President Carter, there are issues concerning the recent bombings in Abyei and the ongoing fighting there between the Meseria and Dinka Ngong ethnic group. How are you calling on them to resolve those issues to ensure that this referendum goes on peacefully?
Well, one good thing about that altercation in Abyei is I don't believe that the forces of the North and South governments were involved. This is primarily an altercation between the two tribal groups, Dinka and the Meseria, on the other hand. And I believe it was just a local altercation. I think there has to be some effort by the international community to stop the violence, and then also maybe subsequently to investigate to find out who is to blame and to prevent a recurrence in the future. But fortunately, there's no information that I know of that would indicate that the northern military forces and the southern political forces are on the precipice or danger of going to into conflict with each other.
Mr. President, the issue of infrastructure development in the south have been raised by a number of people. When you met President Kiir of the south, what were some of the encouragement and how do you think they will be able to handle those issues as the South becomes pretty much an independent country in a couple of days to come?
I think he's already made great strides in bringing the former opposition forces within the South together in a fairly harmonious relationship. That will certainly prevail throughout the referendum period until a new nation is started. And President Kiir knows that he has to accommodate various political voices and dissenting, sometimes disagreements, within the South political structure. In the past, there have been 23 or 24 political parties, for instance, that voted or participated in the April elections when we were here. Some of those were just tiny parties that had a handful of people. And now he has task forces working on defining the future political parties, which will have, he pointed out, at least 500 certified voters in each party, which will cut down the number maybe to 4 or 5. And then he also is moving very rapidly on a constituent assembly group that will provide a temporary or transitional constitution and then ultimately a permanent constitution. He also is trying to decide in the future the currency is to be used by the new nation. The name of a new nation has not yet been finally decided. And so I think that there's going to be a great deal of disillusionment throughout the South immediately after the referendum is concluded and it becomes a new nation if that happens, because the circumstances in people's lives are not going to change. And they'll be expecting immediate improvement in the quality of their lives. But we've been discussing quite long with President Kiir how to improve their system of government to make it more all-inclusive and to protect human rights. Also, how to improve transportation, agriculture, health care, education to give the southern people a better life. And, of course, that will involve and be requiring great support from the international community.
President Carter, looking at the way people are comporting themselves at the poll and the way the referendum commission organized the poll, do you think that it will be credible? Do you think it will be transparent? And do you think it will be free and fair?
It will be credible, it will be transparent, and it will be totally free and fair. I don't have any doubt about that based on the first 3 days of observation here. Because everyone in the South, which is the overwhelming number of voters, is deeply dedicated to making sure that there are no questions raised about the legitimacy of this choice that they are making.
Well, President Carter, last but not the least, there are some outstanding issues, including border demarcation, the issue of nationality, among other things, if the South becomes independent. How do you think they will resolve it, and how would you encourage them to negotiate to resolve these issues? Because these issues are still outstanding, despite being stipulated in the Comprehensive Peace Agreement signed between the North and South in 2005.
Well, as you probably know, former South African President Thabo Mbeki and his group are in charge of this responsibility by the African Union and also the United Nations. And they're getting a lot of assistance as they accept the assistance from other international groups, including the United Nations, the United States, Great Britain, and so forth, with whom we've met. We've met with all of these people. And the reason that gives me some hope, despite the complexity of the disagreements, is that both the North and South leaders know that they have to continue negotiation or discussions, that they have to make compromises when necessary. And if they don't do these two things, the only alternative is to go back to war. And every time they make such a decision, they far prefer peace between the North and South than they do going back to war because they break down in negotiating with each other. So I think ultimately these kind of forces to have peace instead of war will be the prevailing factor, and they will successfully resolve the differences in the Comprehensive Peace Agreement and its successor, that is IBA, the borders, the division of oil revenue, whether the border will be open or closed, the kind of currency to have. All those issues will still have to be resolved, but I believe that there's a good chance with the international community giving help that they will be successful.
Well, President Carter, what is your final message to both the North and South as this referendum comes to a close in a few days' time?
Well, my advice to both North and South, which I've already given gratuitously to the presidents and leaders of the two countries, is to continue to work with each other harmoniously, let the international community help when possible, trust the mediators to give you some good proposals, and avoid in any case any outbreak of renewed conflict.
Thank you very much, President
Thank
Carter,
you.
For speaking to the Voice of America News.
You had some good questions, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you very much, President Carter.